You heard it here first, hour number two on the inaugural episode of Calvin and Campbell. I'm Elijah Campbell, and to my left, great radio, Calvin Smith, and on the ones and twos, the one and only, Captain Kurt. And man, great first hour. Some good discussion, some Derrick Henry talk. We squeezed a little Vols in here. We got well-rounded. We talked about, you know, Kobe Bryant. We talked about Tom Brady. We've got it all in here.
And we've got that show open that you and I spent
Oh, my God.
We probably put an hour into crafting that in the studio, scripting it.
You'd be amazed how long it took us to script that thing. Amazed.
We went out and we hunted for those drops. Who ate all the pecan sandies?
I don't watch. That's from Futurama. You know, it's American Dad.
It's American Dad. It's the alien in American Dad.
I've watched maybe 30 seconds of that show.
I don't even watch it.
But that drop is hilarious. For some reason.
I don't even like pecan sandies.
I didn't know what a pecan sandy was, but until like this morning. And then I realized I've eaten those before, and I really like them. So, yeah, the open, I've been waiting to hear that for so long, and
shout out to Kent and Ryan, who also put it all together once we sent them the script. We love it, and it's so funny. It's kind of a Law and Order spoof as well. We're very proud of ourselves. We'll toot our own horn. Toot, toot.
Toot, toot. But it's a masterpiece. And now it's time for us to say something. And I'll go ahead and lead us off. I want to say something right here. And what I'm going to say is if you spread the Tom Brady rumor of him being at NBA, I don't care who told you that, especially if you are a journalist, it is journalism 101 to not just take information you hear from anybody. And if you spread a rumor that Tom Brady was here without even having anything close to verify it, you're a pinhead. You get my pinhead tag.
Ooh, coming out with it. Wow.
The pinhead tag is going on. Tom Brady, it is so verifiable that he was not in Nashville. So verifiable. It's not even funny. I don't care who told you, if it was your cousin's coworker's boss's cousin who had a sister who like once worked for the Titans and saw Tom Brady passing in a hallway once several years ago and like said hi to him. I don't care. I really don't care. People come to Nashville all the time too. George Kittle lives in Nashville in the offseason.
Does he really?
Yeah. George Kittle lives in Nashville in the offseason. He's not coming to play for the Titans. He's living in Nashville in the offseason. A lot of athletes live in Nashville in the offseason.
I knew he was, sorry, this is off topic. I knew he was a Preds fan. I had no clue George Kittle lived in this city.
Makes a little more sense now, doesn't it?
Oh,
George
okay.
Kittle, big Preds fan, too. He actually, quote tweeted the Preds account the other night. He's a Preds fan, and in the offseason, a Nashville resident.
Interesting. Sorry to completely derail your. You were on a good tangent.
I'm sure a lot of people didn't know that either.
Well, that's why we're everybody's favorite sports show, right? Just like the Open says.
Exactly. It's your favorite sports show. You learn something new every day.
We get your insights from your favorite sports show.
We can be a little informative, a little goofy, a little quirky, a little informative. But just because someone would be looking for schools here doesn't mean he's going to end up playing here. It's like John Gruden rumor, the groomers, as we call them.
I feel like those are still circling around the University of Tennessee.
And now it's become such a running joke that I want it to be. Like those don't make me mad anymore. Like, they used to just make me mad because they're so unverifiably, like, they're unverifiable. Every single one of them.
The flight tracking was my favorite. What? When you track flights.
Also, if you're tracking flights, man, like, get another hobby. Go outside.
Collect some stamps.
Go outside. Call a friend.
I have 10,000 baseball cards I'll sell you.
Yeah, it's a lot of baseball cards. Yeah,
I think I'm underestimating too, but yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to flight tracking, like, get a hobby, and I'm afraid that we are getting dangerously close to flight tracking Tom Brady over the course of the next couple of months because someone started a little rumor, and not to mention someone with the awful Photoshop job of the NBA logo in an NFL not the locker room, but like in the concourse, you know, or a tunnel.
Yeah,
Someone photoshopped the NBA logo behind Tom Brady and his kids, one of which is wearing a Tom Brady Patriots jersey, and people bought that. Media literacy, people. Media literacy. Have some of it.
For people consuming the content as well.
Yes. And if someone's doing that for a joke, congratulations. That's actually really good. That's actually really funny. But if you bought that, come on, man. Come on, that is, there's better Photoshop out there, better Photoshop jobs out there. And B, what tells you that looks like a high school? What part of an NFL concourse or a tunnel looks like any like hallway in a high school? I have never been inside Montgomery Bell Academy. I can't tell you what it looks like in there, but I can promise you it does not look like that.
Gillette Stadium, Montgomery Bell Academy.
Yeah, I mean,
Even though there's a lot of money over there at NBA.
There is, and I'm sure it's incredibly nice. I'll go out on a limb and say NBA is a pretty nice place. It's not Gillette Stadium. I can tell the difference between a high school
hallway.
It's
not Robert Kraft's playground.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a decent high school. Cookeville High School for public schools, decent high school. I liked it. But I can tell you, I've been in high school before, been in multiple high schools. I can tell you what one looks like. None of them look like the hallways or the tunnel to Gillette Stadium.
And I think that's a good way to kick off Say Something here on Calvin and Campbell. Now my turn for a little bit of Say Something. I'm a Browns fan now.
Officially.
I am no longer an impartial observer, member of the media. I have thrown all objectivity out the window. I'm only kidding there. But the Cleveland Browns went out and hired Stefanski to be their head coach, right? 37-year-old. The Vikings had some guys on their staff who may be a little bit analytical savvy. Now, if you know me, if you've listened to any part of Talking with TD or The Kickoff or any time I've ever been on the radio, you probably know I like football analytics. I like math, applied math to sports.
Numbers.
So, the Browns, they hire Stefanski, Penn grad, maybe a little bit analytical savvy in there. They already have Paul DePodesta in the front office.
Moneyball, for those who don't know.
And then they go out and make a hire for general manager, a 32-year-old young man named Andrew Berry. Graduated from Harvard undergrad, economics. Graduated from Harvard graduate school, computer science. And he played football in the Ivy League. I couldn't draw up a better package of what I would want a general manager. You're talking about a guy who I watched interviews with, and this guy is calm, cool, collected, clearly intelligent, and was clear in the value that data can provide you if you're willing to accept it, collect it, and analyze it. I'm a Browns fan. Like, I love them going out and absolutely breaking down the barrier to age and saying, this is our guy, he's a rising star, and we're going to go commit to this approach. I saw an interesting tweet that came up from Chris Mortensen. Hall of Fame GM Ron Wolf said the Browns and others who embrace an analytics-driven model are, quote, out of control. Wolf said, when something goes wrong, who takes responsibility? Their answer, well, that's what the data told us. What a crock. That's what got him 1-31. This is not to go out and disparage Ron Wolf in any aspect. I just disagree with him.
Pretty heavily.
Because I just don't fundamentally understand his point. People are what get the insights from data. So, by proxy, if you misinterpret or misuse data, then one, it's the person's fault. Or two, you're not looking at it correctly, and what happened was just a random explainable error. You need to be educated on how to use data before you go out and say something like that that doesn't even honestly make sense. Ron Wolf, Hall of Fame GM, not to come out and like bash him or anything. Just saying.
You might be misinterpreting what the point of these numbers
You have to
are.
Understand how data works and the process by which you use it. Because anyone who just says, oh, that's what the data told us, oh, that's not a real answer, that doesn't mean anything, well, you clearly haven't worked with data.
Or worked with it correctly.
And this is where the NFL is going, and if you are against it, then you will lose. Just like baseball.
Or just Dave like Gettleman.
Just like basketball. Just like hockey.
Yeah.
Tennis and golf. Football is not exempt from this. 11 people on a field at once is not too many factors, I promise.
If the United States economy is, with all the moving factors that work in it,
if people who study econometrics make the money they do for a reason, they study billions of factors moving at once in the stock market. Trust me, 22 people on a field at once can be accounted for, quantified, and projected accurately. That's Say Something.
I also think you might be the first person in the history of planet Earth to say that I am now a Browns fan. Like, quote, I am now a Browns fan, because all the Browns fans I know are born into it. That is something that you are born into. That is a life of misery, unhappiness, and self-loathing that you can only be born into. That does not develop over time. But maybe what you're saying is, if they're able to apply the data they have, that maybe the suffering can be limited.
I'm a fan. If you're committed to the process, then the results will come. Data's not something you can be half in, half out. Oh, I don't know. No, because when you're
pick and choose. You can't cherry pick.
Because if the data tells you something and you believe in it, you have to go with it. Because if you don't go with it, then you're not actually about the data. You're just saying you are.
Or you're trying to reaffirm.
Or you have to be willing to challenge your prior assumptions.
Yeah, and if you're only using half of it, you're just trying to reaffirm things that you inherently have believed since you have kept up with the sport, since you have followed the sport. That doesn't do you any good, because contradictory information is what helps us make ourselves better and smarter and be able to gain a greater understanding.
Nothing stays the same for 30 years. Football is not exempt from this.
Yeah. Football, basketball, baseball, all these sports undergo drastic changes.
United States economy, treasury yield rates, stock and bond prices.
Us as people don't stay the same over 30 years. I haven't stayed the same over 5. Like, I am a completely different person now than I was 5 years ago, and that's just the nature of stuff.
On this show, everything changed. I hosted the first hour. You're hosting
the
second.
We haven't been the same the last hour and a half. So, I mean, if we can't do that, then sports obviously won't either. But speaking of sports, there is a big sporting event that we haven't alluded to yet, that we haven't gotten into. A little thing you might have heard of it called the Super Bowl. We'll dig into a little bit of that next. Chiefs offense versus the Niners defense. Something's got to give. That is what we're going to talk about next here on Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, Sunday night. Oh, yes. This Sunday night is the biggest Sunday night of them all. Thank you, Carrie Underwood. It's the Super Bowl. It's the big one. The best offense in football against the best defense in football. The San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs trying to win a Super Bowl for the first time since, I believe it is, 1969.
Nice.
And the San Francisco 49ers trying to win their first since 1994. Both teams, it's been a while since these teams have been in the spotlight like this, and it shouldn't be that much of a surprise that these two teams are in it. Like I said before, you have one of the greatest offenses we have seen in recent memory, the Kansas City Chiefs, and one of the best front fours we've seen in recent memory in the San Francisco 49ers. So something has got to give. Elijah Campbell here, Calvin Smith as well. We are Calvin and Campbell, and I think it's time to talk some Super Bowl.
We've somehow avoided it for the first hour and 19, 20 minutes of this show.
A lot going on.
The inaugural episode of the show, and we didn't talk about the Super Bowl the day before the Super Bowl.
On Super Bowl Eve?
Shame. I'm hitting my wrist.
Man.
Shame on us.
Us. That's a violation. We sports radio violated. That's exactly what we just did.
When I see this game, though, let me tell you, I'm excited. Like, it's pretty rare when you get strength on strength like this at the highest stage, because so much random stuff can happen in the playoffs. Like, sometimes you get those Giants teams that were just hot, but they certainly weren't the best teams in the NFL, right?
That's why pro sports playoffs are a crapshoot. There's a reason they're referred to as that, and sometimes the best teams don't always make it into the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals or anything.
That's not even the objective of them, is to prove who's the best. No, because it's random and fun, and anything can happen in one game.
We love chaos, baby.
But this time, you maybe got the two best teams in the NFL. I mean, the Ravens, probably the best team in the NFL over the course of the season, yes, but the Chiefs didn't have Patrick Mahomes. You didn't get a full sample of their team, and this offense, wow.
Lethal.
You look at them and you think, how do you do anything? Because they have the best quarterback in football, the best tight end in football, the fastest receiver in football, maybe the second fastest receiver in football.
Almost the third, maybe. I don't know. They might have the top three fastest receivers in football.
And to boot, they run the ball pretty well. And then they have a very good head coach in Andy Reid and a very good offensive coordinator in Eric Bieniemy. They hit you in 150 different ways with elite, elite talent. How do you stop them? The Titans couldn't figure it out. Mm-hmm. But for this Super Bowl, there's an important thing you can learn from the AFC Championship game where the Titans lost. The Titans had to drop seven into coverage, so they could only rush four.
Can't get pressure.
They didn't get any pressure on Patrick Mahomes. That man had all day to throw and then got a good night's sleep on top of it.
Yeah, he picked him apart. When you give that man that much time, ugly. Gets ugly.
But the 49ers, what do they do really, really well?
Better than any team in football.
They rushed the passer. Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner. They went out and drafted these defensive linemen in the first round for a reason. And this is where a commitment to having a really strong unit in one area pays off, is that you don't beat them up front. Yep. They will get after your quarterback, and they will drop whoever they want into coverage. And to boot, they have a guy named Richard Sherman who's a future Hall of Fame corner.
Yeah.
When you talk about a matchup that you just, it's the kind of thing you glue your eyes to the TV, because you can talk X's and O's a ton, but the Jimmies and Joes on the field is just going to be a display to watch, because Tyreek Hill's going to be running down the field, but is Patrick Mahomes going to have enough time? Because that Chiefs offensive line, too, they've been blocking out of their minds.
Oh, there's a reason that last year Mitchell Schwartz was second in the entire NFL in Pro Football Reference's approximate value metric. Second. Patrick Mahomes was number one, but Mitchell Schwartz is number two. There's a reason for that.
Because when you can block, you can do whatever you want. You saw that for Derrick Henry. That offensive line, as Roger Saffold said, they were moving guys out of the club.
Yeah, they're bouncers. They're pro bouncers.
They were not playing around. You could do whatever you want. It feels like you can do whatever you want when your offensive line mauls. Well, the Chiefs, they pass block like no other. In every aspect, you get strength on strength on strength in this Super Bowl. You couldn't ask for anything more. If you're the television network who gets to play this game,
congrats, Fox.
Well, really, I mean, obviously, if you're the television network who gets the Super Bowl, like, you win no matter what. This is the most watched event you're going to get of the year.
Right.
But still, I mean, this is something to behold if you're a football fan.
Right. With no disrespect to the Titans or Vikings, you're not getting Titans-Vikings. You're getting the two best. You're not getting the two six seeds.
Oh, man.
You're getting.
And that was a possibility.
That was a real possibility. And honestly, now that we kind of, you know, get to look at the Chiefs more with Patrick Mahomes, and you take away some of those losses that they had with Matt Moore at quarterback, the Chiefs are probably, in my opinion, the most unstoppable team in the AFC. You have the most unstoppable defense in the NFC. And it kind of reminds me of, what was it, 2013 or 14? The 2014 Super Bowl with the Seahawks and the Broncos. The Broncos, with Peyton Manning, lit the NFL on fire. Scorched earth all over the NFL, the passing game. Broke the record for touchdown passes in a season. Incredible. Best offense in football. Didn't have Chiefs speed, but they had great weapons on the outside. Absolutely loaded team against the best defense in football with the Seattle Seahawks, who employed a guy named Richard Sherman, who is also going to be in the Super Bowl again this year, playing the best offense in the NFL.
It's crazy how long Sherman's been around.
And has been that good, with considering the injuries he sustained.
And considering playing a position where you need your top-end speed for a while.
And he ruptured an Achilles.
Oh.
Kobe Bryant, as great as he was as a player, never recovered from an Achilles injury to be the same player he was. In basketball, it happens all the time. Sean Marion was the same way. So many athletes rupture the Achilles or they tear it.
There's a reason the saying is, it's my Achilles heel.
Exactly.
It's his Achilles heel. Because that's the thing that'll kind of end it. But Richard Sherman, the style of cornerback he plays is just conducive to being able to play the position for a long time. Because he's not like that man run around the field type of corner. I mean, he's going to play the cover too. He's going to bump you at the line. He's going to know his He's going to know his dimensions of the field that he has to play, because he's just very, very smart. When you talk about top-end athletes in the NFL, Richard Sherman has never been one. But he doesn't have to be, because of how smart he is.
He knows that, too. That's the best part.
That doesn't mean that, like, as a cornerback, you should be okay with sacrificing athleticism, because you're not Richard Sherman. And also the whole thing with Richard Sherman.
They don't come around often, yeah.
The thing with Richard Sherman as well, it's like, he's like, everybody says I'm washed up. Or not good. Like, no, Richard, we all think you're good. Richard Sherman, I am saying I think you're good at football. It's okay. Not everybody hates you. We all think you're very good at this sport.
Maybe five human beings on the planet have ever said you're not good, and maybe three of them were not being serious.
because very good for their bottom line to make a headline.
Exactly. And for him, too. Like, so Richard Sherman is a self-motivator. That guy doesn't need you or a coach to come in here and rah-rah-ree, you know, get him excited and get him
uniquely
pumped up.
Uniquely motivated.
Yeah. This guy is one of the most uniquely motivated athletes to ever play sports. And you saw it in just in the interview, had the famous interview with Aaron Andrews after the NFC title game in 2014, where don't ever talk about the best. You know, that like that guy won't just motivate everybody else to do great stuff. He can motivate himself to do whatever he wants to do in the NFL. And he has done it to the point where he has overcome a serious injury that ruins the careers of the world's best athletes. And here he is, one day away from playing in the Super Bowl to win ring number two against Patrick Mahomes. And if he wins,
as the top corner on that team still.
As the top corner on this team, or on a team, if he wins tomorrow night, his two championships would have been against 55 touchdown pass season Peyton Manning and reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes. Those would be his two Super Bowl championships as the lead corner. Is there another cornerback in the history of the league that would have that on a resume?
That's pretty impressive. When you talk about a team sport, but that's pretty impressive.
That's amazing. And when you think about it, I mean, he doesn't get enough credit. I mean, he gets all the credit in the world. We always say he's a great cornerback, but now you're talking best of all time. You're getting a little closer to that territory because nobody's done anything like that. Like that, those are, Patrick Mahomes, I think, will eventually, with his career trajectory, is going to be a top five guy in the history of the league. I think that's a real possibility.
Might get $40 million on his next contract.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton, and for good reason. He's had last year's one of the best seasons in the history of football. This year, if he didn't get hurt, probably would have been having a similar season with slight regression, because it just happens. And then the Peyton Manning year. That was one of the best seasons in the history of football, too. And they held them to 8 points in the Super Bowl, which is why I'm not completely dismissing the Niners in this matchup. However, as much as I love Richard Sherman, and I will vouch for him all day long, and as much as I love Nick Bosa and DeForest Buckner, Tariq Armstead, I like this Chiefs offense so much, I still think they're going to put up like 31 to 35 points. I mean, I would love to be proven wrong, but I think this is the greatest offense Andy Reid's ever had. The best offensive coordinator he's probably ever had. Eric Bieniemy, the fact he doesn't have a job right now as an NFL head coach.
Actually, on the other side, I can hit you with something Teron and I talked about last night that caught me off guard.
That's perfect. We were coming up against the break, so you hold that thought. And when we come back, we'll share that thought. We might turn around and talk about the Niners offense and the Chiefs defense. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't had to throw the ball a ton. Is he going to have to do it to beat this Chiefs team? We'll discuss next on Calvin and Campbell here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. There it is, the Fox theme song. We're going to be hearing that a lot on Sunday because that is who gets to broadcast the Super Bowl. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. I'm a big Joe Buck guy. I know a lot of people aren't.
I'm take him or leave him, honestly.
I like him. I like him.
I like him in baseball a lot more than I like him in football.
Definitely. I can definitely agree with that. And they're going to have their hands full on Sunday with this matchup. And as we've been talking about, this is as exciting of a matchup as we could have possibly gotten in the Super Bowl. We talked a little bit about the Chiefs offense versus the Niners defense. And you talked about something with Teron last night on Chase and TD.
Right. You brought up Eric Bieniemy as a head coach, right?
Love him.
So let's play the hypothetical game here, okay? Let's say
that's what we do best in this industry.
We all know Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you didn't know that, I'm sorry for lumping you in. We know
you
that.
Do now. Yeah.
You do now know that. So obviously he's very aware Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback of his team.
Mm-hmm.
He's also very aware of the weapons that are under the tutelage of his offense that he's running and actually calling a good amount of plays for. It's not all Andy Reid. Eric Bieniemy does a good bit. He also probably knows Andy Reid is 61 years old. Andy Reid could be looking to perhaps retire in the coming years. So let's say Eric Bieniemy went to these meetings and reached out, but was waiting for the perfect scenario because he's fine with being the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs. And now that the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, they know they're in this window right now. Andy Reid says, I want to get one, or I want to get close for a couple more years, because I feel like Andy Reid retirement has been talked about a few times. He has grandkids now.
It's been around for a while.
Eric Bieniemy is holding out to be the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Could you imagine a better job to take over?
Oh, that's the best one. I mean, I would take, if I'm Eric Bieniemy and I have the option to wait and find out if you're the Chiefs head coach or be the Giants head coach and work for Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
I think the possibility of just waiting to be a head coach, it's just for the 20% possibility of getting to coach Patrick Mahomes
and
for the rest of your career.
Better than 20%.
Yeah, it probably is. I'm probably lowballing the number here when I say 20%. But even if it's just 20%, I think I hold out instead of taking a crappy job like the New York Giants job. And that would actually make sense. I never thought of that. And that's another
Same.
Thing.
That's exactly what I said to Teron.
Never thought of that. Never thought that was a possibility. And you know what? If Andy Reid wins tomorrow night, you can go out a champion, which good for Andy Reid, because he has gotten this reputation and this moniker of being a choker, of someone who can't get it done in the playoffs, who can't win in the playoffs, whose stuff doesn't work in the playoffs, which is an argument for athletes and coaches that I hate. Because sometimes in single elimination formats, stuff happens.
Random collections of random just happen to randomly form a narrative.
Fourth and 27s get converted. Ask Andy Reid in key spots of games. That stuff just happens, man. And for Andy Reid, a guy who is one of the winningest head coaches in NFL history, is one of the greatest winning percentages in NFL history.
That's hard to do.
Has had some bad, bad, bad luck. Yes, in some of those games, he's might have been outcoached. You could say he got outcoached in the NFC Championship game when they took on the Buccaneers. And they are only able to muster 10 points against that great defense. And Donovan McNabb wasn't necessarily seeing Donovan McNabb in the regular season. I understand that. There are some instances in which that happened, but that is not as often as what people make it out to be. And a championship would validate everything Andy Reid has ever done. And that's the perfect cherry on top for one of the greatest careers of an NFL head coach in the modern NFL.
So, along the lines of this Super Bowl, we move to the 49ers offense now, because
it's interesting.
They're getting a lot of love for their approach. It's very different from what we've been talking about with Andy Reid
100%.
Here. As we kind of juxtapose the two offenses that are going to be going against each other, Kyle Shanahan is very brilliant in his own right, very young, all of that good stuff. They want to run the football. They've run the football incredibly, incredibly well. And of course, I'm going to take this quick opportunity to hashtag establish the pass, because the 49ers go out and pay Jerick McKinnon, pretty good free agent money, to come be their running back. He barely plays a snap for them, gets hurt. Then they go pay Tevin Coleman, who also gets hurt. And then Raheem Mostert goes off and Matt Breida goes off. If you're doing it right, if your offensive line is blocking well, your running back can do his job.
Or if they have that speed. Like, Mostert is a fast guy. He's not known for breaking tackles. If you have speed and fresh legs, that's my favorite part about the Niners run game, is they do it by committee. Breida, speed kills, man. I still think, I don't know, because it's been since like week 12 or 13 since I've looked at it, has the fastest speed.
I knew you were going there. I'm looking it up right now.
And he like topped out at like, what, 22, almost 23 miles an hour going down the sideline? Or I think it was like in the middle of the field. He still has like one of the fastest runs in the NFL this year.
Yeah, so Matt Breida, fastest ball carriers as tracked by Next Gen Stats. Matt Breida topped 22.3 miles per hour, which is the fastest in the NFL this season, on an 83-yard touchdown run. Interestingly, number two, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Really? Cordarrelle Patterson? That doesn't surprise me, because Cordarrelle Patterson also has wheels and would make just as fine a running back behind some offensive lines in the NFL. But with that speed, you have Breida, you have Mostert.
Tevin Coleman will be back for the Super Bowl.
Pass catching back. This is a very intriguing offense. They have some speed on the outside, too. Emmanuel Sanders, another guy recovered from a ruptured Achilles, hasn't obviously been the same that he's been his entire career, but adding him
at 33, still good.
Adding him added an extra element to their offense that they simply needed to be better rounded. And you also have, George Kittle. We talked about Travis Kelce being the best tight end in the NFL. Well, offseason Nashville resident George Kittle could be considered, I consider to be the second best tight end in the NFL. Him and Zach Ertz is up there. I think I like Kittle a little more.
But, Kelsey, of course, on the other side for the Chiefs in this game.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, this Niners offense can hit you in different ways, too. Debo Samuel as well. I haven't mentioned him. He's one of the fastest guys in the league,
too. He's been downright as good of a receiver as A.J. Brown.
Yeah, just as much. And he's faster. I mean, Debo Samuel is...
Different receivers, but Debo's, totally different. Man, can fly around the field. And that's part of what the 49ers offer you, and I think is part of what helps make their running game so successful, is that they can fly down the field. And Jimmy Garoppolo this season has been good. Not great. Not talking about anything to like, oh my gosh, Jimmy Garoppolo, elite. Of course, obviously, if they go win the Super Bowl, you're
going to we're getting Joe Flacco-esque conversations.
I was about to make that exact comparison.
Jimmy Garoppolo. One thing about Jimmy Garoppolo, too, and he is the key to this offense. He went an hour and a half of game time without throwing the ball in the NFC Championship game.
That's like Ryan Tannehill type stuff.
Yeah,
with
it
how the Titans were playing.
And Kyle Shanahan was making sure he was not blowing that lead, because he is no stranger to blowing 25 plus point leads in big games. Cough, cough, Super Bowls. For Jimmy Garoppolo, what he needs to avoid, and the best way to put this is by yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase, we had Bonte Hill. He is the 49ers pre-postgame host on their flagship station, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco.
Shout out to Other The Games.
The Other The Games. Unity.
102.5 The Game.
95.7 The Game. San Francisco. Combining. And he came on our program yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase, and he said Jimmy Garoppolo will sometimes do he's the king of the oh no throw. You know, like in basketball, J.R. Smith will pull up with two guys like in his face from like 35 feet. Oh, no, don't shoot that. Oh, okay, good. Good shot. Good shot. Once it goes in, he says that's his biggest thing with Jimmy Garoppolo, is he needs to avoid the oh, no. Oh, good pass throw. Sometimes he tries
too
much.
Oh, good pass is not actually a good pass.
It's not actually good. It's only a good pass because the receiver caught the ball, or the ball somehow made its way into the receiver's
hands. Because the defender whiffed
or dropped it and it got deflected or anything. And when you say, oh, no, the just good pass thing maybe happens once out of every five, oh, no, passes.
Similar to the Jonnu Smith catch, right? Fantastic catch.
Yeah.
But do you bet on that happening again?
Absolutely
not. The Jonnu Smith catch against the Ravens, one-handed, absolutely wonky catch. You think,
one of the best catches in football this
year. How did that
man
do that on that field right now?
But yes. And we can't bank on that happening in general. But also, and we haven't talked about the Chiefs defense yet. They're
pretty
not
good in their own right.
They're not great. They're opportunistic at times, especially with one man named Tyrann Mathieu, who is having a great year. People forget about the Honey Badger.
The Honey Badger.
People forget about the Honey Badger and the player he was at LSU. He's going to be an important factor. He's going to be playing safety, be playing center field.
He'll also come down in the box, though. He'll hit you against the run. What do you need against the 49ers? Guy who helps you with the run. Also on their defensive line, they have Chris Jones. These are the guys we talked about, of course, in lead up to the AFC Championship game. The big impact players.
And they're all healthy. Both teams are all healthy, which is also another weird thing about this game. No one's on their injury report for either team. I saw that last night. There's no one on the injury report.
Well, then how lucky are we to get another? Well, really, a Super Bowl that I think is kind of rare. These two matchups of two actually great teams where you don't have, like, no offense to the Titans, but like a team who's just on a hot streak at the right time, that is a great story, but you want the two best teams in the game, and you might actually have that right here.
Exactly, and they're both fully healthy. You got stars on both teams on both sides of the ball. This is going to be, as for football fanatics, this game should be everything you could have ever hoped for. And we'll wrap up the show here in the next segment, but smell something.
That smell. It's a smelly smell.
Smells smelly. We're gonna tell you what we're smelling here, and I promise you it's not me. We're gonna tell you what we're smelling here in the studio in the next segment to wrap up the show here on Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Do you smell it? That smell. The kind of smelly smell. The smelly smell that smells. Smelly.
Oh, I promise you it's not me. I promised it wasn't me, but we're smelling something here in this studio. Final segment of the first edition of Calvin and Campbell. And
time flies when you're talking, when you're having fun.
When you're talking sports, having a ball, it flies a little bit. it flies a little bit. And we alluded to smelling something. And what is it that you're smelling for this weekend? What is it that's enticing your nose? It's getting your attention.
Something that we want to do every show. To conclude the show, we'll tell you what we smell on the horizon for the weekend. For me, of course, I smell the Super Bowl, right? I mean, I'm going to watching the Super Bowl. Later on today, I have a lunch for my sister's birthday, even though her birthday is not till next week.
Well, happy early birthday.
What have you. She's turning 19. Congrats, Jillian.
Congrats.
Happy birthday to Jillian. But I smell the Super Bowl, and namely, a Super Bowl party I'm getting to go to.
Ooh.
And this is pretty exciting now. So this is on my father's side of the family. I was invited by my aunt, and the house we're going to is very, very nice.
Okay.
It's quite an exciting endeavor. And then for the Christmas version of my dad's side of the family, Calvin was driven home by his sister.
Having a little bit of fun.
So we will.
Okay.
Drinks. I want to watch as much of this Super Bowl as possible responsibly. And I'm going to do that responsibly and be able to come on here and inform the good people of Nashville about what happened in the Super Bowl and why, which team won the way they did, and be a serious Big J journalist.
That's right. Don't drink too much apple juice, kids. What's your...
Do you smell it? That smell. The kind of smelly smell. The smelly smell that smells... smelly.
Before I tell you what I smell, what is your favorite snack for a Super Bowl?
Ooh.
You could only eat one thing for a Super Bowl. Captain Kurt, you too.
Captain Kurt, we're curious.
On the ones and twos, Captain Kurt.
Well, I'm not a potato chip eater, so that's it.
Okay.
Chips are out.
Chips are out. Fair.
See, because for me, this is really tough.
Vegetables. Celery with... with dip and stuff in them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you say celery?
Yeah,
celery.
Yeah.
No,
I dig that.
Yeah,
I dig
celery.
That. I dig that. I like that a lot. I respect that. Yeah, Captain Kurt's healthy.
No.
He's healthy, man.
Yeah.
I like celery. That's a top five.
All right, I'm packing my laptop. Ryan, terminate my contract.
Yeah, Calvin is done.
This is my official resignation.
He is so grossed out, it is not
celery
even funny at this point.
Celery is disgusting.
You're disgusting. Celery is awesome. It's 2-1.
2-1.
Majority rules. I'm a big buffalo dip guy, and if I had to choose to smell anything, maybe some chips, buffalo dip, the best. It's the absolute best. Perfect for Super Bowls. But what I'm smelling this week, I'm gonna turn around a little bit. There's some good college hoops. Now, we've talked on these airwaves about how college basketball's been down this year. And it is a little bit.
Especially in Nashville.
Unfortunately for Vanderbilt, Aaron Nesmith, who's one of the best players in college basketball, I would contend to say he's one of the top five or six players in the sport this
year. You think
year.
He should be a lottery pick?
I think if I'm a team in the NBA draft lottery towards the back end, I would rather take him than some of the names I've seen on these mock drafts just because he is such an effective shooter. But he goes down. He was the entire offense. Vanderbilt is just very outmanned. They might not win a game in the SEC this year.
Again.
But tonight... at about 5 o'clock, I think, even on these airwaves, you have Michigan State at Wisconsin at 11:45. Should be a fun game. MTSU at UTSA on 94.9 Game 2 at 2:30 if you want to listen to that. But what I'm alluding to, the game of the night, College Game Day is there right now, Kentucky and Auburn.
Also on the 94.9 Game 2
That's
airwaves
right. And
after
will be,
MTSU.
It'll be followed by that game, MTSU and UTSA, followed up by the game of the night. I love Auburn. I love their style of play. Very analytically sound.
Hashtag established the three-pointer.
Established the corner three. My favorite quote from basketball this year is SEC Media Day is when Bruce Pearl said, if a broadcaster tells you a team is living and dying by the three, you mute the TV broadcaster, you turn the radio off, and watch it on TV. That team is able to beat teams they're not supposed to beat because of their style of play. I love watching our play. They love to shoot the three. They love to pressure you on defense. And Isaac Okoro is the best name in college basketball the casual fan has not heard of. That guy should be a lottery pick. He's the best on-ball defender Bruce Pearl says he has ever seen. And he's an offensive weapon, too. Isn't the shooter like some of the other guys on the team are, like Samir Dowdy, Javon McCormick, even Anfernee McLemore, big guy who's been able to extend
his
range.
That's a fun name, Anfernee McLemore.
Anfernee McLemore, incredible.
If you're driving around in your car, say that name. You'll see why I say that.
Anfernee McLemore. It comes off the tongue well. And then Kentucky's picking up their stride. Kentucky was bad to begin the year. They lost a really bad game to a very bad Evansville team who no longer has their coach for non-basketball reasons. They almost lost at home to Utah Valley. Yes, Utah Valley. They had their struggles at the beginning of the year, but
It's okay. I haven't heard of Utah Valley either.
Exactly, and it's what everyone's thinking. And Kentucky almost lost to them at Rupp, but you never judge a John Calipari coach team by their performance in November. You do it by their performance in January and February and March. They're hitting their stride. It's going to be an epic game between those two tonight, and it might change your mind on how you view college basketball this year. And before we go, we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't throw out a prediction. Calvin, who wins the Super Bowl? Who's the MVP?
Give me Chiefs 28 to something like 21. I think the 49ers defense will be able to do their thing. But at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. This guy is unstoppable. Best quarterback in the NFL. I'm on the Chiefs because I think when you have the best quarterback in the game last year, this year, and probably the next 5 years, he wins.
I'm going to go Chiefs 30, 49ers 27. It's going to be close. It's going to be a good one. Patrick Mahomes is Super Bowl MVP. Andy Reid is coronated as an NFL champion for the first time in his career and is completely validated.
Eric Bieniemy takes over as head coach the next year after Andy Reid retires. You heard it here. Well, actually, you heard it last night on Chase and TD
first. But you heard it on these airwaves first. And with that being said, that will wrap up the first edition of Calvin and Campbell. Hope you enjoyed. 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Join us next week. This has been Calvin and Campbell. Thank you for the applause here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Do you smell it? That smell. What kind of smelly smell?